Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
We're coming to you live from WRBG Radio. Tonight we got a special speaker for you. He's an up-and-coming artist. He's one of the new leaders and starting trends. Hold on one moment,
Hey, man, they ready for you, bro. Yeah, they ready? Everybody in there?
Attention, all soldiers, come gather formation. My African warriors to my thugs and gangsters. It's time to fight hard, cause our life is in danger. Stop practicing on each other and get the one that's a gangster. It's time to link up and form one big army. Unite all of our numbers, get them people up off us. This whole thing designed to get you broke or you locked up. But we gon' tear it down because this world belongs to us. I see
Yes, a queen, yes, a people, yes, a savior. What if you don't know your culture? Come and let me activate your
circulate the black dollar, keep the black dollar black. We was taught by master not to have each other back. Now we linking with each other, help each other stack, stack. Black pride, one nation, strong and black. That's what's down. See that job that you seek, it ain't all that it seems. They tryna really let your black Wall Street dream. You gon' make it all happen like a king and a queen. But when you rep the culture, it ain't hard as it seems. We gon' march like Martin by the window like X. We gon' treat our people by enemies next. Since a lot of queen Omega showed us that we're royalty. And garments stack the bread and bars are both to set us free. When I march, fucking step, ripping, cold killers. What you see, you pass the lies, you got lies with yourself. You the king, you the queen, you the people, you the rock. Tell them how to start a business. They bring guns, they bring dope, alcohol to the hood. They want you to sell dope, kill and rob for your food. But they ain't bring no jobs, so people dying for the food. It's Operation Nothing, we gon' operate on nothing. When I say march, you say step, reppin' code to the dealt. You can see past they lies, you got knowledge yourself. You's a king, you's a queen, to your people, you's a savior. If you don't know your culture, come and let me activate ya.
You, I fight myself, I fight God to tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, blood on my doorstep. Life a living hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid in relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bump the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all a prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Pray to me. Take my pain to me.
Pyramid. A pyramid, for the most part, in the Nile Valley is a tomb, a grandiose tomb for a monarch. Now, they may have been used for other things. I know there's a lot of speculation as to what the pyramids were used for, but essentially the pyramids were tombs. And the first one, obviously, is designed by Imhotep for a king named Djoser. And this is during the Third Dynasty. This will take us to about, I would say, 2800 B.C. And then you have a series of other pyramids, but the big ones, or the classic ones, the ones that most people identify with, are those on the Giza Plateau. And these are the pyramids of Khufu, Khafre, and Menkaure. And it's also believed, and I subscribe to it, that what we call Horemakut, or the Great Sphinx, was carved in the likeness of the African king Khafre, who is the second of the great pyramid builders on the Giza Plateau. So we're talking about 2575 B.C., or 4,575 years ago, a mighty long time. There's no Greece at this time. The first dynasty in China has not developed. You may have a contemporary civilization in the Tigris-Euphrates in Iraq at that time, but certainly this is something that has taken place in terms of pyramid building on an unprecedented scale in Africa. So it goes through the 4th dynasty, the 5th dynasty, the 6th dynasty. This is when the big pyramids were constructed. And then there's a lapse. There's what we call the first intermediate period. And then you have the next major phase in Nile Valley civilization, at least in Kemet, Egypt, and that's called the Middle Kingdom, which is from about 2000 B.C. to about 1720 B.C. And this is also a pyramid building phase, but none of them would be as grandiose as those in the 3rd and 4th dynasties. Nothing like in the 5th dynasty, nothing like that, to my knowledge, has been done ever since. In terms of the technology, obviously people were very, very advanced. The Great Pyramid itself, which is the Pyramid of Khufu, the actual name is Khufu on the Horizon, is I think 486 feet high, or 481 feet high. It's 48 stories high. It's composed of approximately 2.3 million blocks of hard granite stone. The stones are fitted together. They're not glued together. They're fitted together like you would fit the pieces of a puzzle, put together very precisely. They're made of granite. The stone had to be moved, in some cases, for hundreds of miles. So you had to have strong engineering skills, architectural skills to assemble something like that, just to coordinate the workers. We don't know how many people were involved, but we know it was a vast project, a national construction project. And so when you look at it like that, you can begin to see that Egypt, Africa itself, because Egypt is a part of Africa, was not a primitive place at all.
Because people all were very time
when it comes to 9/11 or the Holocaust or the Titanic, never forget. They celebrate their history all the time. I just watched this documentary on Bonnie and Clyde. They promoted it for 2 months. But African people are told when it comes to enslavement and colonization, get over it. That was a long time ago. Pull yourself by your bootstraps and move on. Europeans, all strong people emphasize their history all the time, and weak people don't. So we must be more history-oriented. I don't get angry at the Jews for telling us about the Holocaust every day. I get angry at us because we don't talk about our history. We are more inclined to forget it, to forget and forgive. And as a result of that, we're not able to get beyond that. African proverb says, if you understand the beginning well, the end will not trouble you. And we have to emphasize that beginning a lot more than we're doing. Right.
And she, Mali, is particularly important to us because this is, Mali has three ancient cities. You have a city called Gao, G-A-O. You have a city called Jene on the course of the Niger River. And one of the most important things as we study Africa is the river systems. If you understand Africa's rivers, you can understand African history. If you understand not just the history of the Nile, but the Niger, the Congo River, the Limpopo, the Zambezi, you will have the Orange River. You can have a good history of Africa. But the most important of those cities is called Timbuktu. And most of us have heard of Timbuktu. Mali is a large country. It has these three great cities. And, of course, this is an image of a black woman from Mali in northwest Africa. So we've gone from southern Africa to northwest Africa. This image takes us to the Horn of Africa, a place called Djibouti. The Horn of Africa incorporates Eritrea, Ethiopia, Somalia, and Djibouti. Some people might also include Kenya in that category. So we've gone from south to west to east. This image takes us back northwest, and this is an image of African children in Morocco. And here's one of my favorites, fair-skinned daughters of Africa from the country called Senegal. Senegal also has a very rich history, and many of us probably came, or there's a likelihood that many of us came from there, or perhaps we came from Guinea or Ghana or Nigeria, all in that region in West Africa. Now, what I'd like to do now is to move directly from Africa itself and begin to examine the African presence around the world. For example, this image right here takes us to Syria, and this image is in Western Asia, and we're moving into a part of Asia that we sometimes call the Middle East, although some of my Hebrew Israelite friends tend to call it Northeast Africa. This one is an image of a Syrian nobleman. This image is about 2,000 years old. This is in the National Museum, literally sitting on the floor in a corner in the National Museum in Damascus, Syria. And this image here takes us a bit farther, actually a little farther south than Syria. These are Jews. Actually, these are captured prisoners of war, Judeans. This takes us to about 800 BC. And this image is in Israel. Actually, this is a series of bas-reliefs, stone carvings. And this is in the British Museum, the National Museum, the prestigious National Museum of the UK, or certainly England. And this one is Jewish prisoners of war. This image is of Ishmael. Ishmael is a traditional ancestor of the Arabs. And Ishmael, as you can see here, is portrayed as Africoid, or African if you like. He is the son of Ibrahim and an African woman, or Abraham if you like, and an African woman named Hagar, sister, a black woman from Egypt. And they are regarded, certainly Ishmael is regarded, as the traditional ancestors of the Arabs. They laid the basis, he and his father Ibrahim, or Abraham, considered a prophet in Islam, laid the basis for the Kaaba sanctuary at Mecca. And in another presentation on the African presence in Asia, we will go into that in some detail. Here you have images of African people, black people, the original men and women of Western Asia. This, for example, is a sheikh from Saudi Arabia. Here you have a beautiful image. This is one of my favorite slides. Unfortunately, I did not take this one. I can't claim credit for it, although I hope to visit the country that she's in. This is a black woman from Yemen in the southwest portion of the Arabian Peninsula. Yemen is closer to Africa than any other part of that region. In fact, it's just across the Red Sea, the Bab el-Mandeb, from Somalia in Eritrea in Asia itself. And this region is particularly important because in ancient times, it was where the world's, we think, finest frankincense and myrrh came from. Frankincense and myrrh were very important in ancient times. They were used as a base for cosmetics, as an antidote to poisons. They were used in the mummification process. It is said that the Roman Emperor Nero used 50 tons of incense in a cremation ceremony. We know the story of the Christ child who was brought gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Frankincense and myrrh being incense brought to the Christ child in the manger in Bethlehem. At any rate, this made Yemen very wealthy, and it was also the domain of the Queen of Sheba, one of the most interesting and important personalities in ancient times. And then we move here to Oman. And this is a new, relatively new slide for me, a new image for me. Oman is at the base of the Persian Gulf. I think that it's bounded by the Indian Ocean on the south and then the Persian Gulf on the east. And this is a large, largely desert country. The capital is called Muscat. And this is a black man in Oman. I became interested in Oman about 25 years ago when I found out that African people were still being bought and sold as chattel slaves. This image takes us to Kuwait, and this is the former crown prince of Kuwait, For a while, he was the emir, only for about 2 weeks, of Kuwait. He is a black man. He's a member of the Al Sabah family in Kuwait. I don't know if he sees himself as black or African or Arab. Certainly, he probably personifies all of those things, as well as being a Muslim by religion and way of life. This image, of course, takes us to Palestine, the Palestinian territories. This is a sister, a black woman from Palestine. She is also a former law student at Howard University. And since we're dealing with the Palestinian territories, we might as well have at least one image of a black woman in Israel itself. Now, you have different black populations, different African populations in Israel. Some of them are quite recent. They come there as a result of the airlift from Ethiopia, taking the Beta Israel, also known as Falasha, out of Ethiopia into Israel. But you have other black populations that are probably the original people there. We know that the first culture of Palestine, Israel, is called the Shukbah culture, S-H-U-K-B-A-H. This culture is at least 10,000 years old. We've examined the skeletal remains. They are clearly Africoid. So you have a very, very ancient African presence, too. And certainly in this region, you have populations like the Canaanites. You have the Phoenicians that have a black base. And then we go a little further east, and we look at the African presence in Iraq. Africans have been in Iraq for a very long time. You have an African civilization in Iraq called the Sumerian civilization. And then you also have Africans, again, who are captured in Africa, enslaved, and brought to that part of the world. They are particularly prominent in the southern part of Iraq near the city of Basra. And even now, I would say that the black or African population in Iraq is about 10 to 15% of the total population. Now, I call these black men and women, these Africans, the invisible people, because we seldom see them in the news. We seldom see them on TV. We seldom see them in the print media. But we have the evidence of anthropology and archaeology. You have eyewitness accounts, which means you have historical accounts. So we mesh these things together, these various scientific disciplines, in order to reconstruct the history of African people. Because the reconstruction of the history of African people is essentially the reconstruction of the missing pages in world history. We are trying to look at the role of people of color in general in history. We're specifically looking at the role of African people, who I think are the most maligned, the most neglected people in human history. But we're also looking at the role of women. So that is not just his story. Women have also, in many ways, been written out of the history books. And we are trying to reconstruct a history that is not as Napoleon Bonaparte, the racist emperor in France, 200 years ago, was wont to call it, a fable agreed upon. Now, this image takes us to South Asia. We're moving rapidly. We move from Africa itself into the Middle East, Northeast Africa, Southwest Asia, depending on the nomenclature that you choose to use. I designate the area Southwest Asia for the most part. And now we're in South Asia proper. South Asia incorporates Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and if you wanted to incorporate it, you could say Myanmar or Burma. And this is a Aboriginal woman from East India. She is from a group called the Banda, a very small group. In 1999, actually 98 as well, but 99 in particular, I attempted, I went to East India, a state called Orissa, and I tried to visit these people, but they are in a very isolated, desolate area. The French did some good anthropological work with these sisters and brothers in the late 1950s, and they have become very, very familiar to many African Americans because they look like Africans on the continent of Africa. Some people I've even argued with, some people, for example, have told me that they are from Gabon, but most people would think that they are from Kenya or Tanzania. They are from the area near Lake Turkana, or perhaps even Maasai. A lot of that has to do with the bangles around this woman's neck, but I assure you that they are actually from East India. East India is very important to us from an African perspective, from an anthropological perspective, because India has the largest concentration of black people in any single country in the world. India has approximately 300 million people of African descent. And in the course of this presentation, of course, I'm using the words African and black as synonyms interchangeably. Let's look at a few more. This is an image, a photograph that I took in what's called a Basti, B-A-S-T-I. This is a black community outside on the outskirts of the city of Bhubaneswar in East India in the state of Orissa. If you want to know your geography, Orissa is going near the East Indian state of Bengal, also near the East Indian state of Assam and Sikkim as well. And again, this is what the original people look like. These are the first people of India. Humanity is born in Africa, and those Africans begin to filter out of Africa, I think maybe 150,000 years ago, perhaps earlier than that. And again, we know a lot of that based on studies of DNA. We know that the populations of Asia have African DNA, and they filtered into India, and they were the first people there. Before the first civilization was built, you have these black folk. Now, this image is Renoka Rashidi in the middle. I get in most of my slide presentations. Why should this be an exception? And here I am, the anthropologist. This image takes us to southwest India in the state of Kerala outside the city of Cochin. This is deep in the rainforest. We had to drive the better part of a day to get there. Myself, my guide, three translators, and a security person to drive into the rainforest into the jungle. Come and speak to this image. When I see these images in the museums, it's as though I'm greeting old friends and family members of mine. Indeed, I think I'm an old soul too. But it gives me just tremendous pleasure and a sense of serenity to be in the presence of these images. Now, with these images, this next sequence, we look briefly at the original men and women of Southeast Asia. For example, this is an image of a black man from Vietnam. I've been in Vietnam twice. On my last trip to Vietnam, I took a group. I kept asking the guides, what about the black people of Vietnam? And the guides, I had four of them, kept saying, there are no black people in Vietnam. I said, okay, what about the Africans in the history of Vietnam? They said, there's never been any Africans there. In the museum in Ho Chi Minh City, formerly known as Saigon in Vietnam, we saw this particular image hanging on a wall. I took a photograph, which I was not supposed to take, but of course that didn't stop us. And I told the guy we were with in that part of Vietnam, which is the southern part of Vietnam, I said, these are the people that we're talking about. And he said, oh, that person is not black. That person was just in the sun too long. Or I would say something like that, and they would say, it's just a bad photograph. There's a shadow over the photo. The Viet people are as racist in their worldview as anybody else. They are in what we might call in modern-day America in denial about their own ethnic heritage. The black people in Vietnam, also known as Cham, were the ones who were there when the Viet came down from China 1,000 years ago. This image is a fairly new image, and this is provided to me by one of my students, a sister named Miss Hamara Holt, lives in New York City, in Harlem to be exact. This is an image of a black woman and her two children in Malaysia, and specifically northern Malaysia. I hope to visit Malaysia in 2007, and this is just across the border. These are images of a black woman and her child in southern Thailand. So these are the original people in that part of the world. And then this one, of course, takes us to the Philippines. And all of these black populations, short in stature, make up the original people in that part of the world, and they are slowly disappearing. They're being absorbed into larger populations. It's interesting, too, that the last Miss Filipino or Miss Philippines in the beauty pageant was a black woman of short stature just like these. These people are commonly called Negritos or Eta. These are pejorative words. The word Negrito is a word introduced by the Spanish, which simply means little Negro. The word Eta is a Tagalog word. The Tagalog are the majority population of the Philippines today. It means filthy. We call them Akta, A-G-T-A, and that's what they call themselves. And the word basically means simply the people, as if they were the original people. They are very clear about who they are and what they are and what their history is in the Philippines. They don't see themselves as African. I don't even know if they see themselves as black, but the physical appearance speaks for themselves or for itself. They live in places like Luzon and Zambales Islands in the Philippines. Philippines, by the way, is named after Philip II, King of Spain, because the Spanish are the first big European intruders into that part of the world, with Magellan in the 16th century. And also two black youth in the Philippine Islands. This is a relatively modern photograph. Now let us look at, go back to mainland Asia, and here you find from the Shang Dynasty in China an image of a tiger holding a black child. This is made of bronze. This is in the Chinoochi Museum in Paris. This museum in Paris has nothing but Chinese artifacts. I have to give Europeans great credit for one thing, if nothing else. They stole a lot. You know, they are thieves par excellence. And it's amazing there are any artifacts left in the countries of origin. This is in the Chinoochi Museum in Paris. This is called the Tigress. And it's an image of a tiger, bronze, Shang Dynasty, the first dynasty in China, holding, protecting a black child. You can look at the features there. They do not represent the features of the Han Chinese. This is from east of China. Of course, this is an image from Japan. This is an image of Fudo Mayo, F-U-D-O, Mayo, M-Y hyphen O. And the name means the immovable one. And Fudo Mayo is one of the five wisdom kings in Japanese mythology. He is patron deity of the samurai, the aristocracy of Japan. There are two proverbs that have been used to suggest an African presence in Japan, a black presence in Japan, used by no less than the great Dr. Shekhan Diop. One of those proverbs is, to make a good samurai, you must have a bit of black blood. Another rendition of the proverb by a Swiss author, a book published called Race and History, 1926, and the proverb reads, to make a good samurai, half the blood in one's veins must be black. And we have some knowledge introduced by a European author named Alexander Francis Chamberlain, I think in 1911 or 1914, in a publication called the Journal of Race Development, that shows or argues that the first shogun, a military general, military ruler of Japan, was a black man, Sakanoe Tomomoraro. This is also from Japan. This is an image of the Buddha. Of course, the story is the Buddha got his tightly curled hair like that. In fact, some people would even tell you that that's not the Buddha's hair. Those naps, those kinks, those knots on his head that seem so obvious to many of us. I was told at a museum in Los Angeles that the reason the Buddha has hair like that is because it was very hot one day. He was sitting under the Bodhi tree, and to protect him from the sun, these snails crawled up on top of his head. Now, I'm the sort of person that doesn't take anything lightly. I went to India. I went to Bodh Gaya. I found the Bodhi tree. I sat under the Bodhi tree for the better part of a day. None of those snails crawled up on top of my head. Perhaps I'm not as pious as the Buddha, but I wanted to test that theory. And even if there were snails on top of his head, I don't know how that would account for the black skin. Maybe he got sunburned being under the sun, but he also got a big nose. He got wide cheekbones, or what I think Dr. Robson called, I think he refers to majestic lips and nose or something like that, the great Dr. Edward Robinson that I've had the privilege to be with this afternoon in Philadelphia. Now, this takes us to Europe. We're winding down now. We only have two regions to look at, one being Europe, and I tend to lump Europe and Asia together because Europe is not a continent, contrary to what we were taught. Europe and Asia go hand in hand. We should refer to it as Eurasia, and the Europe part is a smaller portion, and, of course, this is an image from ancient Rome of the second of three African popes. I believe that this is St. Miltiades. The first pope is St. Victor, the second pope is Miltiades, and the third is St. Galatius. All of them were distinguished in one way or another. If we look at the history of the original man in Europe, we have African people moving out of Africa. They are transformed by the Ice Ages. They either perish or they are forced to acclimate, and so you have a person who loses their melanin content. Their skin grows much lighter because the sun literally goes out. The hair on their body grows longer and kind of cover them like a mat because of the intense cold. You have the nose growing longer and thinner so that they're not breathing in that cold Arctic air that would freeze their lungs. So the original man in Europe either perished or went back to Africa or a warmer climatic area or adapted, mutated, if you will, and became the white man of today. There's only one race, and that's the human race, which is born in Africa, black skin, happy to be nappy hair. He is the mother of us all. I say he, she, because we tend to, in the Western world, identify man as the originator. But in reality, we know that the female is the only one who we can trace that mitochondrial DNA from. This image, again, we're just looking at Egypt very briefly, because what we know about the original man in Europe is through skeletal remains. But I wanted to show at least three or four images to show that not only was the black man, the black woman, the original man and woman of Europe, but that they came back again and again and again. When we talk about the dark ages in Europe, we're really talking, we're hitting closer to home than most of us are prepared to acknowledge, because the dark ages reflects a time when Africa, when the African star over Europe was in its ascendancy, and Africans had not been reduced to servants and slaves. This is Saint Maurice, or Maurice. This is an image of an African saint from Egypt, from the Thebaid area. He is a member of the Roman army. There's an uprising in Switzerland around 300 A.D. The Roman emperor, I think Maximus or Maximian, sends an army to suppress this revolt. Saint Maurice is the head of that army. It's called the Theban Legion. This is a historical fact. When Maurice ended up in Switzerland, he realized that the people he was supposed to suppress were themselves Christians. And he, being a Christian, decided, I cannot harm my fellow Christians. And so he was beheaded. His the Theban Legion was decimated. And he became identified as a saint. And important people in history, like Charlemagne, for example, revered this African saint. This is an image of Saint Maurice placed in front of a church in Magdeburg in eastern Germany in 1240 A.D. This one takes us to southern Europe, and these are the people called the Moors. The name Maurice means like a Moor, Saint Maurice, like a Moor. But the original Moors, the word Moor means black. It means scorched. It comes from the Greeks and the Romans, and you have an image of Moors' heads on these flags. This one in particular, I'm not sure if it's from Sicily or Sardinia, but all the many of the flags of those island countries or those island regions in the Mediterranean reflect the Moors' presence. You can find one, for example, in Corsica, essentially identical to this. Corsica is where Napoleon came from. And this image is one of the black Madonnas.
Here we are. Here we are. Here's for the people.
Egyptian mummies on a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But save the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee them a make big money. This is how the media pillages, on TV the picture is savages and villages, and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids, stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a khaki pants and all of a sudden you are say a Indiana Jones. And I took all the gold and took all the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see and it's all that we'll ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like it'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast but the way them a go flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic lineage where them two can defeat and them could have never clone. A spiritual DNA that prints in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Sabali, that's patience. That's what the old folks told me. Can you get with that? Discovering the world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhyme. It's no realer.
We born not knowing, are we born knowing all? we growing wiser? Are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flat, if you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again, everybody would have thought lost. The average man can't prove of most of the things that he chooses to speak of. And still run research and find out the root of the truth that you seek of. Scholars teach in universities and claim that they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose start running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you read signs? Can you read stars? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows, even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers, people that's just ignorant. Scared of the truth. We patient. For now. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruin. Trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier, 10-7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Damn. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Sabali. Patience. Yeah.
Black power family, black power. Welcome, welcome to our broadcast, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, every night here live on our nightly radio broadcast here on day 519. You're live with the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. Call in right now, 718-664-6398, here tonight live. And press the number one to participate. You're live here tonight with your host, Brother Captive Sadiq, National Chief of Staff. We have with us our co-host, Brother Emmanuel, our local chairman out of Houston, Texas. And I want to know if you can hear me, Brother Mike Tech, Black Power.
Black Power, comrade, Black Power. Hotel, everybody.
Black Power. Black Power, Black Power. And I also want to acknowledge our national spokesperson, Brother Malik Mau-Mau, on the line as well. Can you hear me, comrade, Black Power?
Black Power, Black Power. I'm on the clock, comrade. Just trying to time it.
All right, Black Power, brother. Just let me know when you're ready. Black Power. So I want to welcome everybody. We want to welcome everybody to this broadcast. Tonight on day 519, we are honoring the great master teacher, who you all heard in the introduction of this broadcast, Dr. Rinoco Rashid. The very powerful master teacher who you all heard in the beginning of this broadcast, who we have played for almost a year, almost every night on this broadcast. You all heard from our great honorable ancestor. Yesterday night, we received the information the Dr. Renoko Rashidi had passed into the ancestral realm, had ascended. You know, and of course, immediately when we heard it, we, you know, stopped the broadcast. We gave the news to the people. You know, we had a moment of silence, and then we played Dr. Renoko Rashidi. But tonight we want to take out the time to honor the great work, the great legacy, to give those of us who may not know who Dr. Renoko Rashidi is, who may not be familiar, those of us who are, a chance to now take out the time to look at a great work, pick it up, and carry it on. We're so thankful to have such mighty ancestors. We want to say from the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense that we wish nothing but peace and prosperity to the family and the loved ones, and it is with our deepest condolences that we give this broadcast in honor of Dr. Renoko Rashidi, our great master teacher, and we dedicate this, of course, to the family and the loved ones of Dr. Renoko Rashidi. So this is a very special broadcast tonight. It is in a continuation of the nightly broadcast that we have, but we have to take time tonight because this is very critical and it is very dear to us, because in Dr. Renoko Rashidi, we see, or at least we'll begin to see before this broadcast is up, and as we open up this broadcast, you all heard the wisdom that was given, the wisdom on the ancient African presence all across the world. We have continued to say it. You know, we're the original people. That very lecture that we played the audio from is a lecture that everybody needs to go ahead and get this lecture, however you get it on YouTube. It is called Who is the Original Man? By Dr. Renoko Rashidi. Who is the Original Man? And again, you hear how he is breaking down and giving the dates, the times, but not only that, but the geographical and anthropological evidence that Black people are the original people. Spiritually, we understand this, but how do we understand it? It's been through great master teachers like Dr. Renoko Rashidi. We must understand that we are honoring no lightweight here tonight. We are honoring a brother who comes from the classroom of Dr. Ivan Van Sertum, right, who brought us the great literary record of they came before Columbus, right? And sitting at the table, right, with great master teachers, a student of Dr. John Henry Clark, you know what I'm saying? A student of the greatest minds. And of course it is with a heavy heart and sadness that he joins our other great master teachers and ancestors, those who have brought great wisdom and great knowledge. We want to examine the work that's been done. We look at the great literary achievements, right? When we look at the great works, if we look at the book that he wrote, The Ancient African Presence in Asia, and he actually wrote the book along with Dr. Ivan Van Sertum. There's another very interesting fact about the work of Dr. Renoko Rashidi that I want to talk about, and as this is the month of Black August, I think this is very critical for those of us who may not know, is that he put together a collective of poems. He put together a collective of poems that they are called the, in 1995, they're called the Unchained African Voices. And it is a collective of poetry by death row inmates at California's San Quentin Maximum Security Prison, right? See, our national chairwoman is on the line. Sister Crystal, can you hear us?
Oh, yes, sir. Loud and clear, loud and clear. As you were, I'm listening. I'm listening. Go ahead, brother.
That's all. Because it was a little difficult last night to just be
the death row. You were talking about the collection of the poems from the death row.
Exactly. California San Quentin Maximum Security Prison. And we're in the month of Black August, you know? Now we have to look at what You know, what is, look at a brother who's doing such a great work like that. This is not no lightweight. This is not no regular scholar. This is not no, just talk about it, brother. We're dealing with, you know, born with 67. That's young. But his work is of the elder gods. The thing, the in that 35 minutes that we played, oh, man, just your mind, you were able to, you visually can even see, and we have to watch it, though. Who is the original man so you can see the pictures? Because you couldn't see the pictures, of course, on the show, but if you just see the pictures while he's explaining what he's explaining, it's going to blow many of us away. But look at the connection between this being the month, Black August, and the great work that he did in 1995 of the Unchained Voices of those of the on death row, the inmates at California San Quentin Maximum Concentration Camp. He's known for traveling around the world, as you heard, and opening our eyes. When he wrote, when Dr. Ivan Van Sertima him produced the African Presence in Asia, and this is in 94, it's called The African Presence of Asia, Australia, in the South Pacific. In 1994, you can get the book, right? And when they produced the book, that is the most comprehensive work on that topic ever. There's never been a work like that. And we find that today we don't honor, we don't cherish great wisdom and great knowledge. He was talking about DNA and our genetic, not only our the bones, but the genetic presence, how we are the original man. And it's so powerful, even before his transition. You can find recent, you know, online live streams on YouTube and Facebook and other sites. He's always bringing wisdom. And we're speaking because he is, not was. Because although the physical body will go through the processes that it must go through, that energy and the wisdom is still amongst us. He has been, he has lectured in almost 100 universities around the world, just bringing the knowledge and the wisdom of Africa. One time I hear he says it's Africa. It's his demeanor, his delivery, very on point. And we played Dr. Alain Muhammad a few weeks ago, comrades, and I remember he was talking about how we've had all these great master teachers, all the folks we call Michael Kwame Ture, Malcolm X, Ashe, Dr. Khaled Muhammad. We have all these great ancestors, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, Dr. Renoka Rashidi, all these great ancestors, and we've got all this knowledge. But what are we going to do with it? What was it worth to us? How do we use it as a weapon in our fight? Because everything that we was given earlier, we should have been taking notes. We should have really, because when we know, when we think like Dr. Renoka Rashidi, we are not so easily tricked by the white man because we know who we are. There's no lightweight ancestor, no lightweight master teacher. We don't honor cowards. We don't honor people who turn on their communities. Tonight we honor a master teacher and Dr. Renoka Rashidi, who is our modern day Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, our modern day Kate Auntie Diop. And forever praise is due. So we want to just let everybody know. We want to hear what everybody else says. I want to hear what everybody else has to say. You know, because it's very powerful, you know, Black Power.
Black Power, yes. Thank you, Brother National Chief of Staff, Brother Cactus Sadiq, a.k.a. Young Gun. We're going to thank our national spokesman, Brother Malik Maumau, for being on the line tonight, as well as our Houston chairman, Brother Emmanuel, and everyone that's listening that are here on the phone lines and those of you who are listening online via the Internet across the globe. We want to, as our chief of staff so honorably gave the intro, nobly is the word, I should say, gave the intro of our honorable Dr. Renoka Rashidi, may he rest in peace, and may his great works forever empower us as a people. I did have the honor of meeting this brother in Houston, Texas, in the mid-90s, as a matter of fact. It must have been, I'm trying to do the math, it would have had to have been possibly right around the time that book came out, because there was a brother by the name of Kepera who had a bookstore on Martin Luther King Boulevard in South Houston, and he brought the brother to speak with no coercion.
We played Professor Kepera on this show before, Sister Crystal. When before Minister Clinton Brown came on, I played a clip of Kepera before.
Okay, well, Dr. Kepera was an instructor at Texas Southern, but he also had a bookstore over off of MLK. It was off of MLK, and he bought Renoka Rashidi, and he was indeed doing a slide presentation about the African presence in China and in the Orient, and you know, it was so, you know, being in the 90s, you know, I was coming into my consciousness, you know, I'd known about Kemet and, you know, was learning about the different places in Africa, but it had never dawned on me at the time that, oh, damn, we're the original people in China, you know, and he was showing these images. And, you know, this is around the same time I was still going to the nation. I was going to the shrine of the Black Madonna. So it was a lot of the Shea Community Center. So it was a lot of culture awakening taking place as far as myself at the time. And it just, you know, it tied into what we were learning at the Nation of Islam at the time, you know, under the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that, you know, in the Supreme Wisdom, you know, we are taught that we are the original man, you know what I'm saying, gods of the universe, you know, who is the original man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe. You know, and so it was the anthropological and the historical and the facts, like the images, the pictures that was presented that validated what we had already been told and was coming to the knowledge of that Renoka Rashidi presented. I also remember visiting and going to a lecture in which Ivan Van Sertin came to Texas Southern University. And I remember taking my son out of school and bringing him up there, and he was like, "I'm just a kid." But it was that, you know, breakthrough moment when Ivan Van Sertin, you know, let us know that we were the original people of South America and Central America, and who the Olmecs were, you know. And it was just, you know, more affirmation that we are not only the original people, that everyone, all nations came from us. But it rises another major question, you know, how did the people being the original in these nations get to be so light and so white skinned? And it goes into what we are going through now. It was through ethnic cleansing and genocide that the indigenous of every corner of the earth became lightened. Through ethnic cleansing and genocide, they tried to wipe away our indigenous of the every corner of the planet, as they are trying to do now. They are targeting the Black communities for the vaccine. Why was it that when this vaccine came out, Black people being 12% of the population, why was it so imperative for the media to keep pushing for Black people to get vaccinated when they were the ones that were dying all over Europe? You didn't see Black people, Africans, and people around the nation, around the planet dropping off. It was Europe. Yet the poison is being pushed and was being pushed and pimped and marketed into our community. It is to continue the ethnic cleansing and genocide. How could the samurais go from having to be, in order to even qualify, you have to be at least half Black. That means that would be the minimum requirement. So clearly, to be a pure samurai, you would have to have beaten black. Pure black. The words are very clear. I remember as a child, when Renoko Rashidi came to speak, it reminded me. As a child, when we would see the images of Buddha, it was a slim black man with beaded hair. In fact, they made it a point that the image would be painted black, black, black. You remember that, Emmanuel? You remember that, Mama? But the cats and them were too young to remember that. By the time it got to cats them age, it was a fat, chubby Asian, what we know to be Asian, light skin, fat, bald head, the exact opposite imagery from a slim, upright posture, black, black. I'm talking about literally the color black with the beaded head to a bald-headed, fat, jovial, slouching-looking, light-skinned Asian. A total, complete opposite to imagery. Doesn't that sound familiar? I.e. Jesus. They even did it to us in our modern day with the Washington Monument, at the monument where they got Dr. King. Why they got Dr. King looking all white? I mean, they could have did a bronze statue.
Oh, no.
And 50 years from now, if we leave it up to them and these handkerchief have Negroes, they'll paint Dr. King as a whole European, a full-blown cracker. I got to say, as we honor Renoko Rashidi, last night I got some news, some profound news, some profound news. A few weeks ago, I submitted my DNA to get my African ancestry information to find out where my people came from. And at 11:30 last night, it came in, and it blew my mind. I saw this message hit my phone because it was, you know, I was expecting it to come in much later. And it says, "Dear Crystal, it is with great pleasure that I report your Metro Clan test results. We have determined that you share the maternal genetic ancestry with Balanta people in Guinea-Bissau today. We compare parts of your maternal inherited DNA, the mtDNA, so that would be the mitochondria, to that people from around the world to look at matches using the largest set of African mtDNA samples available today. We found identical 100% matches for you with the mtDNA of the Balanta people. This means that at some point in the 500 to 2,000-year history of your maternal lineage, mother to mother to mother, there was a Balanta woman. Our analysis encompassed hypervarical regions 1, 2, and 3, and then it goes into HVR1, HVR2, HVR3 of your mtDNA out of 3 billion parts, out of 3 billion parts, 3 billion parts. Of my DNA, the variants below are unique to your maternal lineage and indicate DNA sequence patterns that you share with the Balanta people. The combination of the HVR variants determine that your membership into the Hypalonia group LD3, your statistical confidence measures is 100%. It goes on to say that everyone on your entire maternal lineage from the past unto the future shares the ancestry with these groups. Wow. This is how to the 500 to 2,000 years ago, through our DNA coding, we could track and trace our origins. I've been able to finally, I'm about to be 50 years old. I'm 49 years old, and just now finding out where my people came from. Why did they want to erase our history? Why did they want to erase our bloodline, erase who we came from? Why are they trying to erase us off the planet? Because we are, in fact, the origin, the original people of every corner of this earth. We are the descendants of Africa. So just like Dr. Renoko Rashidi, I remember, I was like, wow. I remember him saying he'd been to every country in Africa. Over 50 countries. I remember thinking like, wow. You know how they had that movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indiana Jones? Indiana Jones, they had shit on Dr. Renoko Rashidi, and I've been certain him. They've been to every corner of the planet, basically. To Australia. He had documents from Australia. On up into Russia. He even showed slides on up into Europe. There's not one corner of the planet that we are not the originals of. And how did it change? How did these other groups come in? Now, sure, the theory would be that in Europe and areas where it's cold, you know, you would lose melanin and all of that. But there were also wars over land, over territory. And ethnic cleansing and genocide took place. Just as he admitted up until today, in the so-called Middle Eastern nations, they still have chattel slavery going on right now. And do you know what they do to our brothers in Saudi Arabia? They cut their penises off. They make them eunuchs. Just like they did Carter G. Woodson. To cut our population growth. Just as this virus does. It makes the people sterile. They're trying to cut our population growth. But the genetic code, they can't erase it from us. So they try to erase us off the planet. The genetic code not only proves that, I started doing research, you know, and I found that the Balanta people, Guinea-Bissau, I have to go backwards. I actually had to go backwards, really kind of like in the middle, because it was said that our ancestors wrote that the Balanta people had come to the West from Ethiopia and Kemet and Nubia due to the wars of the invaders. So they went to this area, and guess where Guinea-Bissau sits? It sits on an island, and it's an island and swampy and coastal area. Wow, that's kind of like how we're living right now. We're living in a parallel time. From Louisiana, the coastal areas where my ancestors were either brought to or possibly migrated to, because we find that that was also the area of the kingdom of Mali, where Mansa Musa traveled the planet. And they said that the Balanta people, the term is those who resisted, gave the greatest resistance to oppression. They refused. They could not be colonized. The Portuguese had to give up. And I wondered, where did I get this spirit from? And I thank the Most High and the Creator that we have such great ancestors, such powerful people. We are so powerful. We have been through so much, and we prevail. We have been through wars, having to flee one part of the motherland to another part of the motherland, to be invaded. No, even before to be invaded, to be travelers. Merchants. And now they say that this area is one of the poorest areas, when Master Musa was the richest in the land of the planet. When he traveled, it broke people's economies. And this is why the Europeans came, because they didn't have nothing. They came back down to invade, and these wars have been going on. Even to today, There's economic warfare going on with the people by this government. They use the COVID to go in and try to break independent businesses. If you're not some big corporate conglomerate, they try to squeeze ball you out, force you to shut your doors down, scare the people. Because the ethnic cleanliness and genocide is all a result and the end goal of them trying to take us off the planet is to steal the land, the resources, our inhabitants, our natural inheritance. And through the great works of great master teachers like Renoka Rashidi, we have actual facts as they will teach us in the nation. Actual facts. Not just what you think, what you thought, what you feel, but to know. And they said knowledge is power. And our people suffer from lack of knowledge. No, it says our people what? Perish from lack of knowledge. So once we know what's the exact opposite of perishing, we will prevail and excel. We must be scholarly. We must do our research. We must not only take our research, we must apply it. And we must pass the knowledge on. Renoka Rashidi is one of not only a scholar and anthropologist, but that would be in our ancestry, what we would call in our culture, a great griot. A great griot. These wicked people are conspiring to wipe us off the planet. Now they say they have another variant, the Delta variant. And the Delta variant is coming from those who were vaccinated. Didn't we tell you? Captain broke it down to the, and as I was reading my DNA chart, you know, and even reading to you, doesn't it help you? You can't help but think about what they're doing with the COVID. They're trying to alter our DNA, this RNA. We're dealing with a people. Why are they so thirsty and so desperate? Could it be perhaps that Europe is broke as hell? And has always been broke as hell and only had resources by plundering Africa and all the indigenous nations of the planet? And could it be that in the 60s and 70s, most of these nations fought off and ran out the colonists, the Europeans who had invaded 100 years before, 100 to 200, what'd that be, 400 to 200 years before? And the people are waking up and resisting and fighting back. And as truth is coming out, as we are finding out who we are, who our ancestors were. And we find out that everything that they have belongs to us. And we demand reparations and to take back our rightful rulership of this planet. Those who have stolen and plundered and murdered to be in power are desperately shaking at their boots and they're doing everything they can to stop it. But I'm here to tell you, like Prince said, there's something else. The afterworld. Yeah. The past shall be the future and the future is the past. You can't ignore where you came from. But you just can't stay right there. You got to take it and deal with it and move forward to prepare. We need to learn where we are, where we came from, what are people going through now? What can we do now? How can we forge for the future? This is some of the legacy and the master teachings that was presented and given to us as gifts from Renoka Rashidi. Last week we had Linda Jeffries, a master teacher. Before that we had Clemson Brown, a master teacher. We've had Cabo Cabe. We had the sister, Shahrazad Ali. These are jewels that we've had an opportunity to have on our shows and to ask questions. And we have James Smalls on here. We've had some great amongst our midst. And there are those and more that we must be studying. It is no reason to be dumb in these days. To be dumb these days, seriously. To be ignorant, to be blind when there's so much information out. But it needs to be the right information. You can go on social media and get bombarded with foolishness. We got to damn near break people's neck to get them to focus on some reality, on some real stuff, on what they need to be focusing on. But for those of you who are listening to this program, clearly you are not of the deaf, dumb, and blind, or you wouldn't even tune into this frequency. So we honor our brother, master teacher, great griot, Dr. Anoka Rashidi, Ashe, Black Power.
Ashe, Black Power, Sister Crystal, Black Power to all our family that's listening. We want to hear what you all think about the great legacy as we continue to honor Dr. Anoka Rashidi, pressing number one to go live here tonight on our broadcast. Join the new Black Panther Party. Visit our national website, mbpp.org. As we have said, day in, day out in this broadcast, you know, we're gonna keep on fighting, you know. So I want to pass it on to Brother Emmanuel. Black Power, brother, can you hear us?
Black Power, brother.
Yes, sir, Black Power.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Yes, sir, we hear you, brother.
Black Power, Goddess. Black Power, God. Giving all honor to those who came in the great line of divine before us, those that will come after us, and most important, those that are present right now. I greet everybody in the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum salam, King.
And thank you. That's exactly the response I wanted. From the woman, from the womb man, from the woe man, the great man, the Balante people. That's what they said, Queen? That's what they said, guys?
Yep. I ain't been able to sleep. I try to let y'all, I get up, I got to read more. I got to find the pictures. I'm like, what do they look like? I said, oh, damn, yeah, that's why we get the little long, pointy noses. You know what I'm saying? This ain't no African, no European features. It's African. Go ahead, brother.
Man, do you see them people? Have you seen them?
Yeah, that's why we got these big old black eyes. I'm going to look at the picture. That's why we got these big old black eyes. Yep.
All y'all listening, have y'all seen Sister Crystal? Tati, you seen Sister Crystal? what's she look like? Don't she look like one of my old French Creoles from down in New Orleans? Hold on. I'm trying to know something. Don't she look like one of them French Creoles from down New Orleans? Hold on, Crystal, where you from?
New Orleans.
Hold on. So you mean to tell me that a French woman like you, with that beautiful skin, living in a spot where so many quote-unquote African-Americans are all the same shade of the same background. They call themselves Creoles and Frenchmen. Ain't that New Orleans, right?
Yep, and we all shades of colors. But we always was told, it was always shameful to say French. It was always an insult. We were always taught we was Creole. It was an insult even then because, go ahead.
No. Continue, Queen.
It was taught that was insult because, you know, even back then, nobody wanted to be related to the French. You know what I'm saying? But even the Balanti people, it said the language they spoke was called Creole. I thought that interesting. Balanti? And what does that mean?
Now, what does Balanti mean?
for those that don't know, the word Balanti is a Creole Portuguese French word, and it means in the Mandinka language, those who resist. That is the name Balanti. It means the people who resist. And what Crystal been doing over? What you been doing over here, Crystal?
Yo, resisting like a motherfucker.
Resisting.
I'm just gonna say resisting like a motherfucker.
Resisting. You've been doing what you are without even knowing it. They think they can steal some and take away a knowledge of people. No, you just hold it for a little while so that we can get ourselves right, because when it returns, he said you won't be the same when it returns. When it returns, it will be so fact-filled and true, it will be in your essence. So now we look up the Balantis, and we understand that the Balanti in Senegal and Gambia, which is a western part of Africa, those are the people that lived by the coast. Now we can understand how a nigga ended up over here. Because most of those coastal regions, Sierra Leone and all of them off the water, it seemed to be those tribes were the ones that had people sent over to the western coast. A lot of the tribes that were further off eastern, away from the water, they didn't get as much, you know, thievery as the tribes that were right by the water. And the Balanti people are a people who are right by the water. So we look back into the Balanti people and we find out that the majority of their religion from then to now is Muslims. A Muslim, the word Muslim means one who submits to the will of God. One who submits to the will of God. If God is you and you do what's right for you, you are submitting to the righteous will of God. That's all Muslim mean. It gets people so crossed up out because the power definition was took. They gave us the definition of these words, but now we go back into it like the general told us, and we find out the truth. It ain't been hidden. It just, we didn't see it yet. It ain't been fooled. No, we just didn't learn it yet. We listened to some people, and they told us they foolish ways. So we understand that even if you go to Africa, you can find out, like we were speaking on many other nights, about the many black people, slaves of America, that ran to Mexico and made up the Mexican towns. And now you can see black towns with people that speak nothing but Spanish, and you like, what the hell going on? And they really niggas from over here that ran. Well, you say, okay, well, then there's Africans in Mexico. Well, check this out. Look this one up. There are an official language. There are towns in Africa, the official language of them is Spanish. Equatorial Guinea. Everybody speaks Spanish.
But here's the thing, though. That's another big secret that they didn't took from us. Spanish comes from Latin, and Latin is not the original tongue of Europe. Latin is what the Moors, the Africans spoke. We gave them language because they didn't speak. They were, we gave them the language. You know what I'm saying? They originated nothing. Nothing.
They were the first Muslims. They were the first people that needed to submit to the will of God. We are their gods. We are their goddesses. They had to submit to us and our ways of life for them to.
But see, I read too because when I've been up. I just can't stop researching. If you look at the Wikipedia, the Europeans want to. They say that, and then I start reading, because you know you click Wikipedia at the bottom, it's gonna have the references for the other books, and see they didn't even put those facts in there then, because it said the majority of the Balanti people held onto their traditional African spirituality. They refused to be colonized by the Islamics or the Christians. That's even if you go back to, and they held onto the traditional African spirituality, just like in New Orleans.
Yeah.
We held our black deities. And we have, and the same experience we went through, I went through here. My parents is Christian. I chose Islam. As I evolved, I have started going and embracing my African spirituality. It is the reverse of everything that they took from us. It's coming back to us, and it's happening naturally.
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 Nothing set up. Nothing planned. We came out of what they call foolishness and learned these things. So guess what? That means the Balanti people are in New Orleans. They have sojourned into a land with strange people in strange ways. They have sojourned. When we find out now, the kids of Seth mixed with the daughters of Cain. God said, don't mix with Cain kids. They no good. They rotten. They from their daddy. You the kids of Seth. You righteous. Stay on the mountain. But if you stay up here, you protected. They can't come up. But if you come down, you mix into them, and they going to fool you. And it is only when we come down to somebody else's level that we fool. What up, God? It's only when we listen to others and not find out for ourselves the complete story that we fool. In the spirit of what our sister has found out, when you go and you find out the tribal ways of the Balanti, these are some fighting warriors. And then you look over here and you see contrast of the people. They only explained us to be able to do that as Indians, Native Americans, riding on horses and shit. And Balanti's been riding the animals. They rode more than just horses. They've been mastered the animals. These are people who have resisted the original fake fraud ways of the oppressor and continue to show who they are.
Hold on, y'all. Hold on a second, because I'm watching my face.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna help. So on that part of what he was saying, I'm a Panther back. So I went on to read, and it said that because they refused to participate in the colonial politics, they focused on military. And they recruited, the military was so strong that they were able to overthrow every oppressor that came in. And this is why, one of the reasons why they are in poverty, because they refused to assimilate with the European nations. But unfortunately, it says that in the early 2000s, for some strange reason, and we'll find out, keep researching, that a debt was taken out allegedly by the IMF, which is causing the people to be in poverty. So they're being starved out. Damn, doesn't that sound familiar? Isn't that what we're going through here? Isn't that what we're going through here?
Oh, yeah.
Because we, those of us who refuse to assimilate and be tomfools, our people go through poverty, yet we still prevail. Such beautiful people we are. And even more, I'm just going to keep doing more and more research. And I find it no coincidence that as one of our great master teachers, Renoka Rashidi, crossed into the realm of the ancestor, is the time frame when I was able to find out what my ancestral lineage is. We are all so connected, brothers and sisters. Nothing happens by coincidence. Nothing.
General, when we
yes,
were talking
sir.
About the movie, the 300 with the Max, with the Leonidas character, when you dig deeper, you're going to find this out. And I want the rest of my brothers and sisters to go and find it out for our queen and bring this to her. The Balantes are loosely based off the Carthaginians. The Carthaginians, they were the ones who resisted the dominance and the taking over of the Romans and the European influence into Western Africa, because that was one of the first coasts they had to come into. Gambia,
exactly.
Senegal, all Balanti people. Yeah, and they the ones who resisted to the end and are continuing. And so
we're, like you said, we're doing the same thing we were doing in our past lands. We've just brought it over here. Why? Because we are the Asiatic people. We are not just one place. Just because I'm from Texas, that don't mean when you send me to New York, I'm going to stop eating. I'm going to stop sleeping. I'm going to stop shitting. I'm going to keep on doing what the human body does no matter where I'm at. I'm going to be me no matter where I'm at. If I'm standing on the equator or if I'm standing on the South Pole line, I'm still going to be Emmanuel no matter what end of the earth that they put me in or put me under or I'm around. Well, on top of water, no matter, I don't change who I am. You don't change who you are. And we have never changed who we are. They can't tell us we just from one place. No, they can tell us we from one people, people who have charted this whole land. And we have been everywhere, and we are still here. But now, in the time, the greatest time of man's knowledge of self, we have been returned to our greatest time of knowledge. And the time when we were at our greatest of knowledge is when everybody could learn, when everybody could learn. When you take learning away from everybody, then you're subjecting the whole world because only half of us know. There's a book I want y'all to go to, and I'm going to finish it with that so that the other brothers and sisters can come on in. But there's a book I want some of y'all brothers and sisters to go and find out and look it up and read. It's called The Lost Books of the Bible and the Forgotten Books of Eden. It comes in the one book, and what it does is it shows you a lot of these different scriptures and a lot of these different parts that were taken out. And when you read them for yourself, you can see how it does fill in the gaps. It tells all type of stuff. They don't want to tell you about Thomasine, the Gospel of Thomasine, because the Gospel of Thomasine is Jesus saying some very gangster shit. Like, man, and you better not hurt me. You get hurt. Oh, see, the Jesus they over here done brought you is a forgiven Jesus, and they want you to imitate that. Let us rape you. Let us maim you, murder you, kidnap you, beat you, kill you, and you just forgive us. Get the gear off of us. What? No, the real Jesus ain't no shit like that. That's why they had to remix him. That's why the general said in 50 years, if you allow them to write the story, they'll paint Tupac white. They'll make Biggie white. They'll redo the lyrics. They done did it with everything. Superman, that hug. They singing it as a chorus line now. Our stuff. They've been doing it. That's all they can do is remix, remaster. And if anybody does not know the truth of where it originated from, then you are subjected to their foolery, thus making you a slave of them. But the college told us, a man that don't treat you right, damn sure will not teach you right. If he can murder you over here, he don't want you to know the truth of you over there. Because then you'll see you over there, and you'll see you over there, and you'll see you over there, and you'll realize, oh, man, I done hit all four corners of this planet. That's why it's 139,685,000 square miles of land, square miles under 57,255 square miles of land coming up out of 139,940 square miles of land on a planet that weighs 6.6 trillion tons as it spins on its own axis at 1,037 and a third miles per hour as it makes an orbit around the sun every 365 and a quarter days per year. We been knew it. Knew it so well that we positioned pyramids, which were what in their original states we used as generators. We used as solar panels because on the outside of them, they had what you look at and call chrome mirror. Those are original solar panels that soaked in energy down into their shafts and reserved it for the planet to come alive. But they positioned them like you will position a plug right over the outlet. When you go to that position, you'll find out that the Sphinx is at what they call, is at the geographical center of the earth. how did these people build this and know that? When they go back and they further show you, they show you that the lime has deteriorated, that the original outside of the pyramids was the chrome reflected plates, and the Nile, where they're at right now, was not even land, it was water. Thus, there are shafts on the side of the pyramids where water could be collected, making what we know now as electrical energy through water current. Now you know, they been knew it. That's why there was no smut, no soot. That's the black stuff that comes from fired lamps like you see on Indiana Jones. They walking around in the darkness with these pieces of torches. No, they didn't have no torches back in the day. They had lights like you got right now, probably better than we got right now. That's why they go down now and they see these tunnels and stuff, and they like, how did they do this? How did they make sculptures this? How did they? They think they used chipping wood tools. No, there was electrical power greater than what you got now. That probably could have been the thing that killed them all. And now we had to come back again and relearn it from a prehistoric mind frame. Because if you kill all the scientists off right now, leave just a couple of people, it's going to take a long time for you to relearn all that those scientists had learned, all that you had amassed. Look at the planet. All these what we call ruins now. You got them letting you, telling you that the pyramids are goddamn coffins. It's a disrespect to the greatest minds that did that. And at the center of the planet, at the top, if you go up over those pyramids, that is the lowest part that the ozone is protecting. The ozone being the layer that keeps the outside from in here. So that is the opening of the globe. So the electrical currents that would come from the outside, the galaxy, the greatest forces of electrons that you would need, were pulled into the earth on these huge electrical solar panels and struck the earth, thus giving you life. How do you think these plants are alive? How do you think you put a seed in the ground and it starts to grow? Earth ain't dead. The plant ain't dead. And it had to come to life. Who did that? We did. Ooh, they think they can hide that? They think they can kill that off and, oh, man, we're going to shut him up. Think of my babies know it. My babies' babies know it. My babies' babies' babies know it. How Beyonce say, my great-great-grandchildren already rich. Fuck you talking about. Our father wouldn't leave us in this type of condition and leave us out. He wouldn't leave us wondering who we are, thinking we're greater than no. He said, I'm going to give you facts, baby. And when I give you the facts, you're going to give me each other. And that enemy already know these facts. He's scared of you knowing them. Why? Because he know the day that you know him, he can't do nothing anymore. His time is over. His power against you is over. If a motherfucker slap you, you going to stay right there and let him slap you again? Hell no. When you felt that slap, they made you aware of their intentions. And you, my people, ain't going to allow it to happen again. Huh? That's the knowledge. Your father never left. He sat there and endured it with you. He never left. But just like it said, his eyes are like fire. If eyes are the window of the soul, his soul is full of fire. And when he looks at people, it burns their souls up. Our old souls needed to go. That selfishness got to go. You got to burn that out of you. You have to evolve to unity. You got to realize you can do nothing alone, but together you're strong. Because every piece of your anatomy speaks to that, can attest to that being truth. Put your hands together. That's a fist. Let them apart. That's a hand slap. I bet you ain't going to take no punch over no slap. Your father knew this. He never left you nor forsake you. He was right there with you, the rebuilding of you, the remolding. He said he won't drown the world again. He's going to burn this bitch. When you burn something, that means you send everything that it was to the ashes, to its original form, to be remolded. Because when ashes hit the ground, they germinate the earth, thus making plants, oxygenated plants. Those plants are used in all type of trick systems to make, to pull out those minerals, to make the different substances we use today, called wood and iron and all this stuff, that can be burnt again and brought back down and remolded. That's what fire does. So if you symbolically going to burn the world, that means he's going to burn all that old ignorance away, all those old foolishness away. You ain't pissing on my foot to clear the fungus off my feet. I don't give a fuck what your old ways was. We don't do that shit no more. Pull your dick out, you're going to jail. I'm just telling you the real. We do it a different way. Now we got creams. Now we done got past creams. Now we done learned how they was, the Balanci was teaching us before, how to go and get the right leaves and herbs and put them on our feet and naturally heal our body. Why? Because we know we from the planet Earth. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So if I'm from that, then that is the only thing that can fix me. Dr. Sebi was teaching it. And they can't kill it. There ain't no conspiracy that they going to be able to shut us up. It's over. The world is over. At the end, it's done. The credits roll. They sitting in the movie theater looking stupid. The police are going to come tell them, I got to get out of here. The whole building's closed. Sorry. They know it. But boy, you sad when you know that it's all come to an end. And so you just sit there. Then you get mad at folks when you're walking out the movie theater. You want to start a fight here and now. But if the old people be smart, like my father taught us, we won't even allow you to do that. We're going to look at you. It ain't even in our heart to laugh at you. We ain't even feeling sorry for you. We just tell you, hey, man, you got to go. We don't give a fuck. We're moving on with our life. So we're building our babies, and we're finding out who we are. But you must go and get those things that they left out. Get the whole picture. Find out all about the real Jesus. Yeah, he's a real person. Find out all about the leaders that sit around you right now. They're real people. We honor Dr. Rashidi. Why? Because as we said before, they didn't want him to live. They didn't want him to live. They didn't want him to be the great man that he was. So I and my brothers and sisters and everybody else, we want to thank his family that are alive, listening, that are present on this planet. We thank you for sharing that great soul with us. We thank you for loving on him to make him able to teach us the many things we've learned. We thank y'all for giving us him, because it is hard when you have a human body and you're tied to people and you want to give them the love of every day, but yet you have also a higher job of teaching the people, giving the more than just your immediate family the love, the example. And when you have to do all of that, that's a lot of sacrifice. I've seen many times freedom fighters lose their family. Lose their house. White don't want to do it. I'm tired of you going down there doing this. I'm tired of you talking to everybody. Daddy, I want your time. I know how the world is, Daddy. I know it's all commercialized. I know that, you know, this is the movies, but I want to do it. No, son, we're not going to be beat up by this system. We're not going to, and I don't allow you if I get, you know. It's so much that the fighters have to go through. So when a family allows that, when we've had one that done that, we have to thank them for doing that, for making it hard for him to do that, because he did it. It's many minds that knew the same thing he did, but their families didn't allow it to be given to us. So the ones that did, we honor you. We thank you for him. He was the greatest gift. Y'all enjoyed his presence. And so we thank you for his presence in our lives. And now, as the book says, he will be forever eternalized in our hearts, our minds, because now we stand in a time where we got these things called recorders. We can hear our ancestors still talk as if they were here today. Blessed that we are the people of the Balanti, the Mandinka, the Zulu, the people of the East that have been carried on a westernly course and buried under an old rubbish heap. They are the dead caucus. They are the caucus. But the caucus represents something that seems to be dead. And the eagle goes after dead things. We over here in the eagle's nest look like we dead, but we are not dead. We are truly still alive. We just look different from our original selves. But just because I change clothes, don't change me. And just as we have changed coats, it don't change us. And our doctor did exactly what he did in his former self. Teach the people. Love the people. And so we love him and we love y'all. And as we love everyone that listens, pays attention, and will make this our new anthem, power to our brother. Thank you for giving him us. And now, ancestors, we give him to you, for he has completed his work, and we should only all hope when it is our time that our brothers and sisters behind us will celebrate us, will be happy that we were here, and that our ancestors will be proud when we come into their presence, the presence of the minds of the people. That's where you will rejoin the ancestors, because that's where we keep all our ancestors, in our minds, in our hearts, and their great ways make us smile every time we think about them. Great liberator he was. Power in the name of Dr. Rashidi. Black love, one love, black power.
Black power, brother. Emmanuel, black power, brother. I wanna see if our national spokesperson, brother Namal, are you still on with us, brother? Black power, brother Mama. All right, if the brother does, if you can't hear us, brother, go ahead and just, you know, go ahead because your mic is open. But I want to say to everybody that's been listening tonight, it's been very powerful. I mean, just to hear, you know, Sister Crystal, you talking about, you know, getting the verification of your African ancestry, you know what I'm saying? And that's so powerful, you know, which you say that it's doing for you. You know, it's so heartfelt, you know, and it aligns so perfectly. And a lot of the stuff Brother Emmanuel was talking about, you know, he gave a bold statement last night on a lot of historical aspects and really kind of just completed what he was saying last night, you know, and it's all backed by the frequency that we set with Dr. Renoka Rashidi in the beginning. You know, you said something, Sister Crystal, you said, you know, because we have such a great legacy, we're targeted. That is the reason why we're targeted. You know what I'm saying? As Dr. Francis Perez Wilson, another one of our great ancestors, teaches us, we don't understand white supremacy. Everything else will confuse us. We have to understand this so-called white supremacy. The current events that have unfolded in regards to our comrade, Brother Ozone, are in direct relation to the fact that we are targeted. And it is when we stand up as warriors, is when we stand up on a platform of nationalism. Here in this situation, in the case of Brother Ozone, we're dealing with the wicked oppressive American police state. It is what it is. You know, it's a criminal enterprise who, you know, just being black, you know, it's being targeted in America. Our great ancestor Malcolm X says America means jail. You know what I'm saying? But then it's more so, you know, when you begin to stand up for black people who've been murdered in this nation, as Brother Ozone does. When you begin to go out and assist and secure those who are infrastructure building and doing things that are moving us forward toward nationalism, like Brother Ozone has done, you find yourself being targeted. And when we look at the initial crimes committed by the specifically, we speak of specific pigs, the Daytona Beach Pig Department, we see not only the crimes committed, but the officer who committed the crime on the footage, that crime is the crime of racial profiling, the crime of arbitrary arrest. Before arbitrary arrest, and again, arbitrary means to have no basis, to have no reason or jurisdiction to make a statement or take an action. If you make a false statement, it could be called an arbitrary statement. If you arrest somebody who has not committed a crime, therefore it's arbitrary arrest. And in the United Nations, they consider in the United Nations Charter for Human Rights, also in the Inter-American Court of the United Nations, that is an international court that deals with from Canada to the bottom of Chile on this side of the hemisphere, to arrest or to hold somebody against their will or to arrest them under arbitrary arrest is against international law. It's against the law here, and God damn it, it's against the natural law of the black nation when it is a warrior of our people, a brother who has made and has made his statements for our humanity and moves in the legacy of the great warriors who have been described and shown to us empirical evidence given to us by our great master teachers like Dr. Renoku Rashidi and Dr. Ivan Van Surma and Sheikh Anti Diop and the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, who taught us the origin of this goddamn no good cave beast and cave bitch. We suffer in this nation. We're oppressed. And those of us that fight against oppression are further targeted. Here we see that the American government went so far as to initiate what they call a manhunt on our brother. And that is when they falsely kidnapped him or arrested him, and now he is being held against his will. We're speaking to Comrade Ozone. He is being held against his will as a free man in Daytona Beach, Florida, or at least in Florida. Now, this is cause for us to stand up and do something. Many of you have seen today, there's information that we released that on Friday, August 6th, with our great comrade, a brother who I've grown and we've grown to have a lot of respect for, Brother OC the Great, OC the Great TV. You can subscribe to OC the Great TV on YouTube. Find it, OC the Great TV. We'll be launching on Friday, August 6th, a 24-hour live stream broadcast fundraising campaign for our comrade, Brother Ozone, because we have got to turn up the goddamn heat, crackers, who are trying to get away with the false arbitrary arrest, with the trumped-up charges, with attempting to railroad and assassinate our brother on two occasions that we can call the initial interaction, is what it looks like to us, and holding him in the DeKalb County Jail, in the concentration camp. And when he was held there, he was held there in a cell. When he was there, he was on a concrete slab on the ground, and a toilet was overflowing with defecation and urination, and he was forced to hold his bowels. And it was openly known that he has gastrointestinal issues due to years ago him being in a car or a large 18-wheeler hit the brother off a motorcycle. And in that, he had sustained serious, almost life-threatening injuries. Family, look at this. Look at this. Tonight we honor, in the month of Black August, a man named Dr. Renoku Rashidi, who compiled poems from those on death row. We demand an end to the racist death penalty when it is applied to the black nation. And we demand the freedom of all political prisoners. We're not asking for it. It's on us. And the white man will do what the people say, do, because he is weak, and he will do what we lay out. Or he's got to deal with the force of the people. We honor a man here in Black August who compiled, and we talk about Black August, and we look at the legacy of George Jackson and Jonathan Jackson and Rochelle McGee, and we look at the legacy of those of the Soledad brothers and those who have fought from the inside, where Brother Ozone is and Brother Spite is and Brother Matulu Shakur is and brothers like Brother Kamal Siddiqui, who is in a medical fucking prison. What is a medical prison? He is sick. He is at a medical prison in Augusta, Georgia, and he is there, and he committed no crime. He is a political prisoner, the same as Comrade Ozone, and we're having on Friday this 24-hour-long broadcast to raise funds, because we got to do it. We must do it. We're the only people who care.
We only people who care. Nobody's going to save our brother. We cannot trust the legal system. But if he is to have the best legal representation, we got to raise some money in the name of our brother. That's just straight up how it is. It's on all of us to get the message out. It's on all of us to be tuned in for as many hours as we can, and we can be tuned in for 24 hours if we can get other people to listen in and get them to donate $20 to get them to donate. Many of us on our Instagrams and our Snapchats and our Twitters and our whatever we got, and TikTok and this damn app, we've got hundreds of followers. Some I've seen with thousands of followers, and people look at my Facebook, Crystal, and they say I got a few hundred followers. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't know them, I don't know those people. But that's the point that I'm making. If these people really follow the message you've been pushing, it should be no problem then with you getting them and leading them into the broadcast on August 6th, OC the Great TV, Brother OC the Great, many of our great brothers and sisters who have been speaking out against all of the wicked crimes that are being committed against Brother Ozone. We're going to be live. It's going to be a 24-hour-long campaign. This is something that is due and available for us to do through the channels of these social media apps. And we claim to have all these followers, and we so popular, and everybody like and share our posts, and we black nationalists only on Facebook and Instagram, then it shouldn't be no issue. Now it's going to be, and if they don't, you know, you have to look into who these people are, right? Especially if they have not been saying any goddamn thing. Why are they looking at everything you post? The fact of the matter is, it's on us. No matter how we look at it, it's on us to pay homage to our great honorable ancestors, our great warrior scholars like Dr. Renoku Rashidi, and it's also on us to respond to the crimes against the warriors and the freedom fighters as a nation should do, protect its warriors. We say to those who have been sending donations, those who have been pushing the message of the crimes committed against Brother Ozone, Brother Oster Wallace, we want everybody who has been continuing to support to give yourself just a little small, quiet, you know, little, very slight pat on the back. We say that because there's so much more work to be done. We can't, you know, take time really to sit and look at. We got to get with it. And it goes for every other situation that we face. There's a solution that we have for everybody to support the legal defense, to support the legal defense of our brother. We want to work, of course, to get him the best legal representation possible in dealing with this damn beast. We want you to go to the link, westandwithozone.com, westandwithozone.com, and to donate, as our brother is in there day to day, has to be in here, does not want to be in there, and didn't commit no crimes that would constitute for him to be there. Again, as a political prisoner, day to day, you're going to need things, just like we need things out here in this plantation. That is only an enclosed plantation, but the conditions are vile. And every day, you need the necessary day-to-day bare essentials, right? Commissary and things of that nature to be able to contact your family and to be able to make calls at all costs. They hold us against our will as political prisoners and make us pay for it. Look at this. That's why our response must be greater. To donate to that aspect, you can go to the link justice4ozone.com, justice4ozone.com. And we say tonight, family, it has been our intention tonight to commemorate and honor now our great ancestors, right? But of what is, right? As we define our great masters, scholars, and warrior teachers, what is? Because what is being presented to us is in the present. We have to take all the great works of Dr. Renoku Rashidi. We have got to get and watch as many lectures, get the book Ancient African Presence in Asia. And not only did Dr. Renoku Rashidi write the book, but the book was edited. He edited it along with Dr. Ivan Van Sertima. So now you got two snipers, two warrior scholars in one text. And sometimes we really do take for granted
reading and studying. But that's all right, because it's, as America continues to escalate in this open war with this vaccine and all of this, you're going to need more than books anyway. But you better read the books too. But you need water. You need to be growing the things. We need to be growing the things that are going to help us optimize our immune systems, right? Like elderberry, right? That beats up on the damn virus. Things like burdock root that clears up the mucus in the body that causes many viruses and causes for it to be intrusion into the immune system. And who we learn that from? We ain't speaking nothing. We wasn't born with this. We learned that from our great ancestor, Dr. Sebi. But come on, man. We got so much ammunition. We got ammunition mentally. We telling you you need some damn physical ammunition and a physical gun. Because we dealing with a ruthless enemy who shoots people, shoots our children. God damn it, and the most important thing of the weapon, both the mental and the physical weapon, is to understand to protect yourself is the key to all weapons, is self-defense. So not only should you purchase a weapon, but you should also properly learn to operate such weapons. You should learn to clean it, learn the safety, learn that you need to put it in a safe, locked away place if you have children. The children should also know how to operate such weapon. They should know that it is not a toy, and it should not be treated as such. They should know where it's at in case something goes down, and they should know how to use it. And when they get to an age of responsibility, they must also have a weapon on their person when in going into situations like just going outside to just go about your daily business. We are not afraid that one of our own will murder us, as is properly propagated. No, commonly propagated. We're not afraid. We're not worried as a sense, but we know that every damn day there's a propensity for some crazy cracker, some whacked out devil to murder one of us, so we must protect ourselves. We are in open war. This is New Black Panther Party Radio. We got to tell the truth. We heard tonight from our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. Black power, black power. We heard from our co-host here tonight, and have been this, have the brother Emmanuel. Y'all already know. Every time the brother gets on here, he leaves a pile of dead lies in his path. That's how it's got to be. Got to teach you how it is. Brother man, your Black Power, I chair out of Houston, Texas. And, of course, y'all know I'm going to be on here because I feel I have a duty as a young brother to push the narrative, because I'm going to tell you those much younger than me, it falls back on them. So we ain't got no time to play. We love our beautiful Black nation, and we dedicate this broadcast to the legacy, to the great work of Dr. Renoku Rashidi. We again send our deepest heartfelt condolences to the family and the loved ones of Dr. Renoku Rashidi, but we ask that you understand, family, that we are the ones who are going to carry on. The work will not be in vain. It will not be just left to be forgotten. We're not only going to carry the work through our wisdom, but our actions will show and prove. And it is, and we will show and prove that all of the work of Dr. Renoku Rashidi, of our presence on this globe, as Brother Emmanuel, Sister Krista said tonight, they cannot change us. And we will continue to be the great Black original people who has been, who we have seen through empirical evidence presented to us by our great ancestors. We love you, family, and this broadcast has been very powerful. We have been very powerful. And, you know, we just have to say, another thing, too, we do have to say this, and you talked about it last night, Brother Emmanuel. God damn it, when that damn Purge movie came out, I believe that these movies are ritualistic in many senses, and we're not talking about no African spirituality. We're talking about white, Jewish, sick, child molesting, blood sacrifice. God damn it. And they do these things in these movies. Just as the movie comes out, you got somebody who opens fire inside of a movie theater. We need to realize that we don't be out here playing. It's nothing to play with. We are not a people who are violent people.
But if you have got to get violent to save your life, that's what you got to do. Do not allow for our children to be out amongst those. First of all, there is a global pandemic where people who have been vaccinated are infecting those who have not been vaccinated. That alone. But also when they're pushing wicked propaganda of open warring and they show it and say, oh, openly kill and purge and all these things. We need to be looking at this. These are political strategies and information war, because at the same time they showing it, they doing it. And at the same time they doing it, they showing it. And they show what they do. There's no charges that have been pressed, Fauci, although there is a lawsuit that Rand Paul is trying to put up against them. But Fauci, America, China, for Dietrich, the University of North Carolina, what's the other one? Harvard University. No, let's put it on record, because these are the criminals. These are the ones that did the COVID-19. And these are the ones that must pay. And this is why we demand reparations.